Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. This is the preview show, the review show of the Borussia Dortmund against Atletico fiction. Of course, Atletico had the home match. It's just the two of us today. Matt cannot be here, Stefan, but he actually did say something that he wants to be quoted on. He says, pass on my sheer incredulity that BVB are still in this and could have won it. Terzic lineups are rubbish, but subs are consistently game-changing. Stefan, before we get into that, because that's a pretty good match analysis, I think, how's it going, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. I've thoroughly enjoyed this absolute roller coaster of a week, which has been the Champions League quarterfinals. They've lived up to the billing. They've been thoroughly enjoyable. And from a Bundesliga point of view, a lot of entertainment. So can't really complain.
Yeah, I think my number one takeaway from a Bundesliga perspective is that both teams are still alive, or very much alive, actually. I mean, Bayern Munich with the simplest task now, or to just quote unquote, having to win against Arsenal at home, which, you know, I think they would have happily taken ahead of this fixture. And Borussia Dortmund, you know, they lose at Atletico, but given the first 20 minutes or so, walking away with just a 2-1 defeat, I think they would have probably taken that too, knowing the power that is the Westfalenstadion playing there at home and the sheer strength and that comes from the ranks there and gives you almost that extra little bit. I mean, similar to what Atletico have at home, right? And at their new brand new stadium, is it called the Wanda or whatever, the Metropolitano? There's a loud and very aggressive and strong atmosphere that gives you like almost a little bit of edge. I was joking, the Atletico players looked like they started the games having taken a bunch of amphetamines because they were going like 180 kilometers an hour. But I think Dortmund will take this result, even though they should have maybe equalized in the end, either through Brandt or Bino Gittens. But Stefan, let's start at the beginning. The way this started, this could have been really bad.
Yeah, it was a terrifying start from Dortmund. And I actually quite like the way that Bayern started against Arsenal actually on Tuesday night, where after 10 or 15 minutes, you really began to worry for them. I think I clocked 7 corners in the first 25 minutes for Atletico Madrid, which is just incredible, really. It just shows the sheer, you know, domination that they imposed on Dortmund. And then, of course, Dortmund cracked entirely just 4 minutes in from just some sheer lunacy from, I mean, we were discussing this with subscribers, whether it was Cobell or Mattsson. I think it's probably 60-40, maybe 60% Mattsson, 40% Cobell, because, you know, obviously Mattsson makes a poor pass that leads to the interception, which leads to the goal, but Cobell's an inexperienced player. He should know not to be making that pass to, you know, a defender who's really flat on with him and has a man on him. Just, you know, really just baffling lack of composure at this stage of the competition. And as you would expect in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, the opponents take complete advantage of it. Something similar happened 30 minutes later, 20 minutes later, where Mats Hummels and Schlotterbeck more or less run into each other, which leaves Griezmann to kind of line up Lino for the second goal. And yeah, at that point, you really begin to wonder how bad things could get for Dortmund. But they did kind of crawl back into it. And, you know, they kind of composed themselves by the time they got to half time. And in the second half, they looked like a completely different side. we could get into whether that's the Dortmund, whether that's the Atletico Madrid, but ultimately it means that, you know, this game finished with Dortmund in the ascendancy, Dortmund with all the momentum, and as you said, there's a lot that they can take positives from this game, and they should have a lot of confidence going into the second leg, I think.
Yeah, I think one goal. I mean, at the end of the day, the math here is quite simple. You just need to win, right, to at least force extra time, and this could be one of those that just go all the way. You don't want to. The new rules mean that you don't want to lose by more than two goals, right? Losing by just one goal, you have essentially a goal down now at halftime. And I think that I'm juggling because that first goal was so ridiculous. And I think the only good thing that I can take away from that, the way it happened, is that Kubel right away tried to own it. Although I have no idea what Madsen was thinking there. Like, why would you play the ball out of the back like this? It's funny because we talked about this on the show yesterday, right? Towards the end, where we discussed this whole idea of playing the ball out of the back. And I actually like it. I think the problem is that there's too many goalkeepers who can't do it properly. And maybe there are also too few defensive lineups that have the ability to do it quite right too. I get that you, the risk, the fact that you keep possession outweighs the risk. So it's a risk calculation, right? But you know, at the end of the day, you need to be very good at it. And I also think that when you're playing at a place like Atletico, where everyone is so fired up, and the Griezmann and co play with the knives between their teeth, maybe that's not the place to do it, Stefan, because they were pressing so high, right? And I mean, I can't believe the amount of running Atleti players were making. And you know, they had a weekend off, right? They haven't played in 10 days, and I think it showed a little bit, but it was really telling how much energy they exerted. And I think I almost had this feeling that Diego Simeone's game plan was to end this fixture within the first 30 minutes. And I mean, it almost worked. It could have worked, you know. And I think ultimately it didn't. And I don't think Atletico will not have the luxury going now back to Dortmund to play the next Tuesday with having the weekend off. They're playing Girona on the weekend, which is a pretty big game for them. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how that second leg is going to get impacted by that.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. The way that Atletico Madrid kind of went through this game was actually quite fascinating to me. I know we're going to spend this whole episode talking about Dortmund, so it's worth talking about Atletico for a moment, but I think you're actually more or less correct, actually. You look at the way that they basically tried to blitz Dortmund in the first kind of opening 20, 25 minutes, and they got their two goals, and it seemed as though they thought, well, that's job done, so we can just kind of put our feet up. We've done our homework on Dortmund. They're not very good. They're, what, fifth in the table? You know, they're all sorts of a mess, so we don't have anything to worry about. And you could probably argue that they basically let Dortmund back into this game, because for large chunks of the second half, Dortmund had plenty of possession. They were quite comfortable on it. Atleti really stood off them. And I think it's actually quite telling that the average age of the starting 11 for Atletico Madrid was actually 30.6 years, which, it's actually really hard to get a starting 11 in football these days. You know, John Oblak, 31, Axel Witsel, 31. Axel Witsel, by the way, who I thought was too old for Dortmund before he left. Cesar Azpilicueta, 34, Koke, 32, Rodrigo De Paul, 29, Marcus Llorente, 29, Antoine Griezmann, 33, and obviously Alvaro Morata, 31. So, you know, obviously, by the time the other mark came along, Atleti just looked like a really, really tired team. Not to mention the fact that Dortmund then kind of consistently brought on players who had a lot of energy. Obviously, you know, Sebastian Haller, obviously not a quick player, I would say, but obviously one who brings a lot of physicality to his game, which, you know, if you're an Axel Witsel, who's, you know, now 35 years old, not a natural centre-back, beginning to tire, the last thing you want is like a fresh target man to be wrestling with. I thought Julian Brandt coming on at halftime made a huge difference because he just added so much impetus to that team. But then you add guys like, you know, Bino Gittins in there, Marco Royce. I know Royce is no spring chicken, but he's obviously a fast attacking player despite being 34 years old. So, you know, to kind of echo what Matt said at the top of the show and his comment to us, maybe it was Terzic's, you know, genius that kind of led to this, but I think it was also just a simple fact that this is a very old Atletico Madrid side and they started to tire, and Dortmund had players to kind of bring on. I mean, Brand and Bino Gittins were just running like nobody's business. I thought they were outstanding. And it really makes you wonder what happens in the second leg where they have to go to the Westfalenstadion. They'll likely play extremely defensively because that's just the way Atletico Madrid play under Diego Simeone. They'll try and more or less try to kind of see out that one goal lead over the course of 90 minutes, and it'll be up to Dortmund to break them down. But, you know, I think Dortmund had plenty of moments in this game where they saw, you know what, we can go toe-to-toe with this Atletico Madrid side, and as long as Mats Hummels isn't running into one of his own teammates, they looked okay.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.